The votes have been counted. The 462 seats in the 11 new super councils have been confirmed. The DUP secured the highest number of seats. They gained 130 ahead of Sinn Féin on 105. The Ulster Unionist Party claimed 88, the SDLP 66, the Alliance 32. But it was a mixed picture for the DUP. Its share of the vote fell by 4% from 2011. And it finished behind Sinn Féin in terms of votes received. Later today, we'll hear how the European election panned out. Let's speak to the commentators, Alex Kane and Chris Donnelly. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Alex, what's the big shock here? Or what are the big headlines to read out of this?
I'm not sure that there's a big shock as such, Stephen. I think, in essence, if you just look at the headline, the ordinary viewer, the ordinary listener, we'll look at the papers, listen to you this morning, and the picture they will get is DUP, Sinn Féin, still top dogs, UUP, SDLP, Alliance, still in the big five mix. So things pretty much is the same. But what is interesting, it's just the DUP, it's the first time, well, in the same way that there's been a very small sign of progress for the UUP, it is only a small sign, but it's an important sign, there's actually something significant happening with the DUP. Their high point in the past decade was 2005, they've lost almost 100,000 votes since then. The gap between them and the UUP has narrowed down to around 35,000.
Why have the UUP done so well?
I'm not sure that they've done so well in one sense, because to be honest, they've actually only put on 742 votes since the last local government election. And if you look at the last assembly election, okay, they've added about 13,000, but that was their lowest poll ever. But they look very good. And that's all that matters in politics. It's perception. They look very good compared to the DUP. And the other interesting thing about the DUP, Peter Robinson has boasted for about 5 or 6 years that the Democratic Unionist Party is the party of unionism. It speaks for unionism. For the first time, Stephen, this is important, for the first time in a long time, the Democratic Unionist Party does not have a majority of unionist voters. It got 144,000 on Thursday in the local government election, but the other unionists got over 155,000. That will worry the DUP. They won't panic, but it will worry them.
So the TUV vote went up. The PUP had some good performances in Belfast. How are the DUP likely to react to that, Alex? Well, Chris, we'll come to you in a second.
No problem. Well,
one thing I know about the DUP, you know, never write them off. People forget them. In 1996, and sorry for the statistics, Stephen, but it's important. In 1996, at the local government election, the Democratic Unionist Party actually polled less than 100,000 votes, okay? Within 10 years, it had doubled that and, you know, eclipsed and wiped out the Ulster Unionist Party. One thing I know about the DUP, they are the best at taking a bloody nose, learning the lesson, and coming back. They will come back.
Yeah, but what is the lesson?
The lesson is that, well, interestingly, their battle now, I mean, people thought that people talked about the middle ground, that, you know, the Ulster Unionist Party a few years ago was trying to reach out. They went to the right on flags and hats. The DUP, not very long ago, a couple of years ago, you and I were talking about it. Robinson was saying, we need to end the benign apartheid of education. We need to reach out to those Catholics who don't regard themselves as socialists. Then the DUP went to the right. The reality is here that the more unionism goes to the right, the more it seems to be picking up votes and the more it seems to be damaging the DUP. It's fighting on its own turf, and it finds that uncomfortable because it hasn't had to do it for a very long time.
So, Chris Donnelly, you can hear a big issue maybe coming up in the next Assembly election. Maybe Martin McGuinness will end up as First Minister next time around, the way these votes have shaken down, if that's to be continued.
I think, but it's too soon for that to happen, really, Stephen, because whilst the DUP will, and Alex is absolutely right, you know, the DUP are going to remain the predominant voice within unionism. But what has happened is the three smaller parties, the TUV, the PUP, and the Ulster Unionist Party, have all been buoyed as a result of this local election. In 2011, the DUP kind of maxed out with 38 seats within unionism, and therefore there's room there for those other parties to chip away and gain a few assembly seats. The problem for Sinn Féin is whilst they are, and in Sinn Féin, let's be clear, have had a wonderful weekend, and that's going to continue today and even tomorrow if some of the southern counts continue. They've had their All-Ireland strategy utterly vindicated. I mean, 83,000 votes in Dublin is absolutely phenomenal. That's going to even continue. The mood music for Sinn Féin is going to continue to be good. The election of Brian Hayes in Dublin means there's now going to be a by-election in what is actually Sinn Féin's strongest Dublin constituency, which means that they're likely to win another Doyle seat. And as we race towards the next southern election, Sinn Féin are poised to do even better. But within the north, and getting back to your question, Stephen, the one ominous sign for Sinn Féin, and they'd be well aware of this, is they actually lost out seat-wise when you convert the seats that local election that existed beforehand. They actually dropped a little bit, and that's because they continue in the north to fail to attract that that disillusioned SDLP vote that exists in nationalist and middle class and minority nationalist areas and unionist communities. And you could see this if you look around Belfast, look from Glengormley to Macedon up to Antrim, right the way round to the new Armagh Council. There were seats where Sinn Féin just failed to get that seat because the SDLP voters aren't coming out. They're certainly not coming out for their own party anymore. I mean, the one party we've been talking about so far, the Ulster Unionists, did well. The DUP, bit of a bloody nose, but they still have the largest number of seats. Sinn Féin, obviously, are feeling in a bearish mood. But the one party that we're not talking about is the SDLP, and they're in trouble.
Well, they haven't had a great election, have they?
No, they're in trouble, and even the strains in the BBC studio the other day was a bit of words between Mark Durkin, very critical of Alistair MacDonald, and that suggests there's a bit of a problem, a strained relationship between Derry wing of the party and the leader. And of course, Sinn Féin gaining more council seats in Derry than the SDLP means, you know, if the citadel that is Foyle were to fall to Sinn Féin, then the SDLP would be really, really in trouble.
The turnout is interesting, Alex Kane.
It is, yes. Well,
51%, 51.84%.
It confirms the trend, you know, and in fairness, you know, it's a trend that exists across most of the world at the minute. And it maybe explains, oddly enough, that a smaller turnout, you know, not so much in Northern Ireland, but certainly in what we're seeing across the rest of the United Kingdom and France and Germany and Italy and Greece, it does seem to back up support for the protest parties, particularly on the European Union stuff. But in terms of Northern Ireland, yeah, what we have, here are the raw figures, and this is important. You know, 462 councillors elected. Of those 462, 412, by my calculation, maybe one or two either way, but 412, probably 92-93% of them belong to clearly defined us and them parties. The middle ground, even though there's a wider choice with Alliance, with NI21, with the Greens and a few others, basically the middle ground has been wiped out. Unionism, all of unionism, is now in the right. There is no middle ground left wing. But and Chris is right, this thing about the SDLP and Sinn Féin. SDLP seeming to come down, Sinn Féin seeming to plateau. In the way that a few years ago we used to talk about the Garden Centre pros, the Garden Centre unionists, who didn't want to come out for anything, it does seem to be, within nationalism, the equivalent, the Garden Centre Catholic, if you want to call it that, who don't want to vote, who are not happy with the SDLP, who can't quite bring themselves to vote Sinn Féin. And it just seems, that worries me. I mean, that's the one message coming out of this. It's been for the last two or three elections, that instead of a post conflict growth of the middle ground in new politics, we're actually seeing the consolidation of very old style politics here.
I think Alex has put his finger on it there. There is a sense that, well, Billy's in B&Q, Sean is now in home base.
Yes.
And when it comes to election day for a lot of the middle class, disgruntled middle class voters there, and I do think that there's a gap that exists within nationalism, particularly to the centre right. Whether it's on socioeconomic issues or on moral issues. And interestingly, yesterday on William Crawley's show, Sunday Sequence on the BBC, Father Bartlett was referring to the pastoral letter from the bishop that came out last week. And tellingly, his last comment he chipped in to William was that both Sinn Féin and the SDLP's vote had fallen. And in one sense, he was trying to suggest that, you know, he is aware that, you know, both Sinn Féin and SDLP on moral issues being quite liberal, and whilst he wouldn't be interested in this, but certainly on socioeconomic issues, both would be more to the, you know, centre-ground or centre-left. There is that kind of gap, that, you know, there's a Fianna Fáil market in the north that the SDLP aren't interested in, that Sinn Féin certainly aren't interested in, but that certainly exists within the, you know, within the Catholic community that isn't there, that isn't moving to, that whilst in the past would have just swallowed on policy issues and disagreed with Sinn Féin and the SDLP, but nevertheless went out and put their ex or their one next to them, that now they're obviously just staying at home.
You were adamant, Alex Kane, that you wouldn't vote. Do you regret that now?
No, I don't, Stephen, because I mean, my not voting was, it was a personal thing. I've told you this before. It was my concern that there was no one I wanted to vote for, because it was just us and them. And I know there's that old joke about, I think it was Billy Connolly or Mark Twain, who said you shouldn't vote, it only encourages them. And that's the problem. I think it's a very weak argument to say, well, two weak arguments. You can't complain if you don't vote, and B, you should vote, even if you think the party you're voting for are actually incapable or don't want, or else just vote for them because they're one of ours, not one of theirs. And I think what the parties need to look at, and what we need as a democracy across the United Kingdom and the world, is what we need to look at. Why are people, intelligent people, people who are interested in politics, you know they are, Stephen, they come onto your programme, they write to newspapers, they're everywhere, they tweet, they're on Facebook, they're in the social media, they're passionate about politics. But for some reason, they just couldn't be bothered to vote for any political party because they don't believe that any of those, and I mean any of them, they don't believe that any of them actually represent their interests.
Alex Kane, thank you very much. Chris Donnelly, thank you.